Hello and welcome to Two Words Wolves Pod. I'm Murray Nykton, and with me today is Andrew Dukowitz from Zone Coverage. Andrew, how you doing?
Good. I'm getting some caffeine flowing. Late night last night, recording a post-game show after a Wolves loss that I think everyone on Wolves Twitter could have predicted a mile away. But happy to talk to you, man.
Yeah, I mean, we'll dig into the Grizzlies game, the shell of the Grizzlies, who they lost to. But I think we all know where we should start today is Kevin Garnett will be returning to the Timberwolves in a off the court kind of business development content community role. It's obviously long overdue for him to come back. Obviously, it's very clear that Glenn Taylor was kind of the biggest reason why Garnett did not want to come back. And eventually here we're going to get a jersey retirement for KG, which is obviously the most long overdue thing with the Wolves right now. But I think it'll just be really good to have Garnett back. It's kind of I think the Wolves fans need closure from the whole KG thing and how it ended, and really like how it ended 20 years ago. Obviously he came back eventually, but it's time that the Wolves haven't just been able to have an outright celebration of KG since his retirement. And eventually they're going to get that here. Hopefully we'll get an announcement of when this jersey retirement is going to be.
Yeah, I long overdue. I think KG, you know, it's been what, almost a decade since he's even been in the Target Center. I want to say the last time he was there, it was in a Prince jersey rooting on Cat. I mean, even his second stint, he kind of got screwed. He got signed to that like 1-1 kind of coach deal, and Flip Saunders passes away, and then he gets cut and has to retire. So I don't blame the guy. I am a Minnesotan, and us Minnesotans are petty by nature. So I can honestly kind of appreciate the pettiness of like, I'm not coming back until that guy's dead or sells the team. But it'll be really fun to see him around. I believe he has like a house in Minnesota still. So I know he's up here quite a bit, or quite a bit in quotations. Like he's not living up here every other weekend, but he is still kind of connected with the Twin Cities area. So it'll be fun to see him out in the community. I hope that's a big part of what he does, is doing community engagement stuff, because there's this new generation of Wolves fans that have come in with Ants that honestly don't have any connection to Kevin Garnett. And I think it'll be fun to bridge all of those fan bases, from people in their 30s and up that got to see him play, to people of the Cat era who got to see, you know, mentor Kevin Garnett throw a ball at Pekovic, and now this current iteration of, you know, Ant fans, Wolves fans. It'll be a bridging of all the gaps, I think, which that's always fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's hard or impossible to overstate like what Kevin Garnett means to Timberwolves fans and to Minnesota at large. Like up until a few years ago, Kevin Garnett was the Timberwolves, even as he wins a title with another team. Like that, their only success they had was with Kevin Garnett on the books for how many years. They missed the playoffs for over a decade straight just without KG, and they finally made it with Jimmy Butler before he exploded the franchise, and obviously you get Ant a while later. Garnett will be forever linked. He's the all-time leading scorer in the franchise history. Obviously, us Wolves fans hope Ant can pass him up. It's going to take another contract on top of the current one for that to happen. But yeah, it's just long overdue. And it's another step in the right direction for this ownership group. Obviously, the bar is on the floor in terms of comparing them to Glenn Taylor, but this has been kind of not even like something that like a something talked about behind the scenes, but as much as just like they've clearly been hinting at this since they took over. In terms of, they talked about it in like their opening press conference out in Vegas, just about wanting to reconnect with the KG era. And then obviously the biggest signal to me was when they debuted the Black Tree jerseys and they wore them 21 times at home. Maybe that's a coincidence. I continue to not believe that's a coincidence. And obviously the news today points to that. But it just feels like a weight off everyone's back that, I mean, the night where he gets his jersey retirement in Boston, which is obviously deserved, but like the fact that that happened before the Minnesota one, I think hurts. Just, I mean, we see the Kawhi situation and the Clipper stuff. And it always felt like there was unfinished stuff with KG from back in his playing days. And obviously Glenn, his relationship with Glenn and the trade to Boston and all, like, I don't never really wanted to leave all that stuff. It'll be a really special night at Target Center. I'm looking forward to it whenever that comes. But when they have the KG retirement at Target Center and he just gets to be a part of the organization, obviously it's not going to be like a day-to-day thing. He's not going to be deciding who to sign with their 2-way contract or whatever, but he'll be around. Like you mentioned, I think community stuff, fan engagement stuff, I mean, it's just easy money for not literally and figuratively for the organization to have him involved in that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. There's been breadcrumbs all season. Like, even Troy Hudson being there at Zerbiak Duck Night, I was like, oh, T-Hud's here. That's weird. Like, he hasn't been back since forever. You know, I think they are, yeah, again, Laurie and A-Rod, I think, have done a really good job of just listening to fans in general, like bringing the Trees jerseys back. Fans have wanted that for like a decade, and for whatever reason, the old marketing department, the old brass of the Wolves, just never did it. Bringing the Prince jerseys back, even like doing the lighting stuff at Target Center, they also like revamped the concessions. They now have, you know, mostly automated kind of self-checkout stuff in the upper deck. That's just like a quality of life as a fan. Like, you can get a hot dog and be back before halftime's over because there's not one person checking out 40 people in line. It's just they so far on the fan side, I think, have been really, really good. Now, you know, will they win a championship as owners? Like, how do they progress with like Tim Connelly in the front office? All of that stuff, I think, is more of like a retroactive thing that we grade on. Like, you know, if they have a Joe Smith moment that comes out, we probably look different upon them. But like, so far they've been awesome. And Kevin Garnett, the one thing I will say, like, to fans and everyone else, is you can only bring him back once. So be prepared to sit on your hands and kind of wait a little bit, because I do think you want to have him coming out of that tunnel at the right time. And I don't know if that's game 5 of a 2-2 playoff series. I don't know if that's, I mean, hell, it might be Kat's return when the Knicks are in town. Might be a while, though, because I do think there has to be some tact to when you bring Kevin Garnett out of that tunnel, because it is going to get a pop like no other in that building.
Yeah, and we already saw that a while back when he did return about 10 years ago now, when he did return when they traded for him back before he retired. Like, that was a big night inside Target Center, just having him back even as the role player he was. To talk about ownership, I agree with you that they've done a good job with obviously the team on the court and the fan engagement stuff. I do think it's fair to point out, like, they did lay off like 10%, I believe was the number of the staff, and ticket prices are still are incredibly expensive over the past couple of years. So like, just to give like a fair, like, there's also stuff that like I'm sure people don't like, and it's certainly a fair response. But like, yeah, in the total, it's hard not to, and again, bars on the floor, it's hard not to see their vision, or hard to not appreciate like where they're moving the franchise into more. They're unfortunately not the only business to lay people off, and they're certainly not the only business to overprice certain aspects of the business. So,
I would just add on the Lynx side too, like, tickets for the Lynx being one of the most expensive tickets, you know, made it to the championship 2 years ago, and they were the best team in the league last year. But like, there are some games where it was like 75% full, and the cheapest ticket to get in was like $80. That's tough. Like, that is a fair knock, because like, it's one thing if it's supply and demand and you're selling out every game and tickets are that high, but it seems to be kind of priced at that point, which, you know, be nice if there was the $8 college seats that people could take advantage of.
Yeah, and to be fair to them, it has that kind of stuff has as much to do with, at least on the Wolves side, as the team getting good and being more popular than it does. Like, a part of the reason the tickets are more expensive is they're just more popular. So it's not all just money stuff. But yeah, like I said, they've done a good job. The KG thing is just, I mean, they had to get it done, but like, it's low hanging fruit. It didn't take multiple meetings from them for them to decide, you know, what would be a good idea is bringing Kevin Garnett back. Like, obviously that's an obvious move, and I'm hoping we get like some sort of announcement of a jersey retirement or official return or something before too long. Cause like you mentioned before we started recording, like people are going to want to show up for this thing. People are going to want to travel. Like I know I do. I cover half the games from the arena. If the game ends up being one of the games I don't end up covering, I want the time to either request a second credential for Candace Hoopas or to get a ticket for myself. Or, you know, like I'm going to be there, whether it's as a media member, as a fan. So like, I don't know. It's Shams's article said like within 2 years. I just, that to me, like if it's at the end of next season, that just seems like an incredibly long wait.
Yeah.
But like you mentioned, Cat comes to town, in about a week. That's probably too quick of a turnaround, maybe. I don't know. But it's as good as news, non on the court news is really the Wolves could hear. And it's been unbelievably long overdue.
I also think like the rollout of this, of like having all of the hints to get fans kind of pumped, having KG repost some of the Wolves stuff and like leaving those breadcrumbs and then announcing it right before Christmas, like that the Wolves like marketing department, social media department also deserves like a ton of credit, because bravo. My dream is playoff series tied 2-2, Wolves coming home for a game 5. You just don't even announce it, but then when they do the, it's not the third quarter, it's the fourth quarter, just have Kevin Garnett come running out of the tunnel with a mic screaming it, and like, there you go. That would be my iconic way to do it, but you need to have home court advantage and a fifth game in a series. So who knows how long that could take with how this team has been playing.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if, like, KG's just at the game on like tomorrow and they do an official, I don't know. We have no idea what is to come. Hopefully we get some sort of official announcement, but you mentioned getting home court advantage. Well, if the Wolves continue to play games like they did against the Grizzlies, getting a top 4 seed is going to be incredibly tough. They lose 116-110 to the Grizzlies, who are missing half their roster, including Zach Edey, John Conchar, and John Morant, which they've kind of play better without Morant so far this season, but still they lose and their offense is just absolutely putrid in the second half.
Yeah.
They shoot on the game. They shoot below 40% from the field, below 30% from three, and their free throw, they miss a good number of free throws, around 70%. Just a brutal loss. And one that for me, I kind of started to think about like, they won the two previous games where they're missing Ant, and a lot of like the ball movement was great. And that's like, they got two solid enough wins and look good doing it. And you kind of think in the back of their head, well, maybe the offense kind of looks a little better with Ant on the bench. Not to say they're a better team or even like they're going to score more, but like, it just seems more fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a game like last night where it's just like, man, they could have used a guy to just get them a bucket when they needed it. That's kind of how I always like, it's fun to have like the team basketball, but to me, there's always like a ceiling to it. And you need just so many nights, like a grade A superstar can save you, and it doesn't excuse their loss or whatever, but certainly they needed Ant last night.
Yeah. It's tough. Cause I also really think they needed Mike last night. Like Mike seems to be the only guy on this team that when the ball starts to stick and people start to get into this ISO heavy thing, Mike seems to be the only lever Chris Finch has to snap them out of it. Like I think we've seen it quite a few times at the beginning of fourth quarters, Michael sub in for like Dante or Michael sub in for Ant in that first like 4 or 6 minutes that Ant doesn't play. And Mike just like passes, which like it sounds so dumb that like a 37 going on 38 year old point guard is the only guy on the team that can break like the isolation hero, your turn, my turn, no passes on a possession. But like he does. I mean, I think when he gets the inbound and dribbles it up, it calms him down and settles everyone down. So like you're missing Mike, so you don't have your like break of bad habits. And then you're missing Ant, the best guy, I mean, probably top five guy in the world at just like making stupid shots. Like how many times does he pull up for a 3 8 seconds into a shot clock? And I literally feel myself dying inside because the basketball purist of me is just like scoffing. And then he drills it and does his like celly to the fans. And I have to just swallow my pride and be like, that's basketball now. You miss both of those guys, and we saw exactly what happens. The ball gets super sticky. Anyone who touches it off of the first pass ends up shooting it, from Jaden to Dante to Bones calling his own number without a pass on a possession. And then a lot of Julius Randle just diving headfirst into Jaren Jackson Jr., which to some extent, like, at least he was trying to make something happen. But on the flip side of that, it's like they weren't even running plays a lot of the time. It was just inbound to Bones, inbound to Dante, dribble the ball down the court, pass one time, and then whoever gets it goes for it. And I think part of that is, you know, you don't have Ant bailing you out, and you don't have Mike kind of resetting the chessboard of like, no, we don't play this way. We need to get into some sort of actions. And I mean, what I will say is like that it was a bad loss. The Wolves are still 3 games behind the Nuggets for the 2 seed. Like, they still have time to correct it. They still have time to figure out like how to get into certain stuff. And, you know, Ant's coming back hopefully on Friday, which I'm still pretty optimistic about this team. I know I've said it in the past, my opinion's usually pretty slow to move. I need like a lot of data to kind of shift it. And this team still feels like at stretches, and it's still at least like on data points is like a top 10 team in the league.
Yeah, I mean, they're seventh in net rating. I don't know. I mean, the Spurs are right behind them. Maybe you bump the Spurs up as eight. Like, yeah, the Wolves are solid. They're not good enough to win the title or win more than even maybe win a playoff series right this second in the West. But it's December. Like, I get in the same kind of mental headspace as you described there of, like, you have a bad loss and you think about, well, they're not as good as this team. And maybe that's true, but it's also like, I think for all of us, and I'm talking to myself as much as anyone, like, it's December. We got to like take the games as they are, see that there's room to grow, because ultimately, like, the Wolves get into the playoffs with Anthony Edwards, I'm going to like their chances against a lot of teams, probably everyone except the team that they play tomorrow night. But I agree with you that the ball movement was just not there. And they needed someone. Like, I thought Bones played fine, just didn't knock down the shots he got. Mm-hmm. But he's not that type of point guard, and they're not expecting him to be on a normal night with them. Like, they just didn't have, like, they needed a guard. And I know, like, obviously roster wise, like, Mike's the big, but even like with Ant, even if Ant wasn't scoring, like, Ant can do a lot of that playmaking, a lot of the just getting into the paint, drawing defenders, kicking out to open, like, all of that was just not there. Is sorely needed. And even if Mike is not able to play at a high level this season, like, that's just a hole in the roster. They need one more like creator, even with Ant healthy. And then one thing I kind of thought was, obviously they missed a lot of open looks. I think that's fair to say. Like, it was a poor shooting night, and on a average shooting night, they probably win that game.
Yep.
Why I'm hesitant, and I think the last loss they had against Phoenix was a similar deal, why I'm hesitant to just like write this off as shooting variance or whatever is the Wolves have had a lot of shooting variance positives so far this season. They've won a lot of the like big wins they've had against bad teams have come kind of on the backs of shooting variance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a little bit less willing to just like write that off. Well, while also acknowledging like it was not a good shooting night. They missed 17 of 18 threes from like midway the third quarter until basically the game is over. Like a lot of time when you, I always think about, and like thinking about like when you'd play grade school basketball or high school basketball, this is especially true. It's like if the opposing team is just going to pack the paint and you can't make an open jump shot, what's there? Like, that's it. It's just kind of over at that point. And that's the Memphis wasn't necessarily packing the paint, but they obviously Jaren Jackson Jr. was, as a former defensive player of the year, was playing great defense in the perimeter, in the paint. And so it was like, they needed a better ball movement. They could have gotten a Triple J away from the rim, all that good stuff. But it all, part of me is also kind of like, they weren't making shots and they weren't able to generate easy looks. So it's a tough spot there.
Yeah.
Another kind of aspect. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I don't chalk it up to shooting variance because I just, there's games you're going to just miss shots. Like, they were in this game until the end, like, gut it out, move the ball a little bit more, get Rudy in the short roll a couple more times. Like, quit just banging your head on shooting threes. What does concern me a little bit is when things aren't going well. And Rudy talked about it after the game of like when they aren't hitting shots at an average, you know, their expectations. That's a weird way of saying it. When they're not hitting shots to the way they want to, right? They drift back into their old ways. And I think what he meant by that, or at least what I see, and him saying that kind of triggered a thought of just Julius goes back to playing New York Knicks Julius, where he is just trying to force the issue. Dante is trying to get himself going and not trying to be this point guard hybrid, like set up the offense guy. Jaden gets a little more hesitant to just drive in and call his number. Cause I think, you know, Jaden didn't get a lot of touches in the fourth quarter. And arguably when Jaden's matched up against someone that's 7 inches shorter than him, he should be getting found every possession. I think even Rudy like starts to get frustrated that he's not touching the ball. And I think like when the shooting variance is poor for the Wolves, they really get frustrated and all of these bad habits start to form, which that's what kind of what we saw in the OKC series last year. That's kind of what we saw against really physical teams last year. And it seems to be a trend that's happening this year too, where like, it's almost like if the Wolves have a bad shooting night, you just kind of know exactly how to beat them of like, all right, well, they're not going to pass. Let's pack the paint and let's just be really physical and keep bothering them. And eventually they'll just, you know, go into this ISO ball thing where no one is passing. So like that concerns me because I do think good teams can force bad shooting nights, which sounds super obvious, but like, bad teams, you can shoot 45% from three because you're going to get open looks because they don't have the wing defenders. Teams like Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Denver, like they have the wing defenders to force tough shooting nights. And if you're not getting the ball movement, it's just going to compound. So that's kind of what I'm more concerned about is just this seems like something that could tank a playoff series if they're just not hitting shots.
Yeah, very true. And you're over the course, if you're trying to win four playoff series, obviously you're going to have a series where like you just don't have the shooting that you would prefer to have. And championship quality teams beat or are able to overcome that and win series or wins games where the shooting isn't there. And it's obviously not to say the Wolves can't do that. It's just that so far this season, they haven't been able to really overcome.
I'd like to get your thoughts on that, because I feel like this team is almost built specifically to overcome shooting variance games. Like Rudy is the ultimate floor raiser. Like it's lobs and dunks. Jaden is so good around the basket. Julius is so good in the paint, like, or in the paint kind of as your point of attack. That's why it's almost like so frustrating for me, because like this team has so many guys that should be able to just grit out a win, but then they don't, or they don't when they have these kind of variances. Like, do you think that's weird at all?
Yeah, I mean, in the sense of like they just have way more talent than that version of that Memphis roster, and even without Ant, like they should be able to win that game. I'll push back a little bit in this sense of I don't think they have been that team, at least. So they should be that team that is able to overcome, but I would say they haven't been that team. Like they're pretty much every stat across the board, the Wolves are fairly average. Obviously ninth in defense, ninth in offense is slightly above average, but like they play at an average pace. They have an average offensive and defensive rebounding rate. They have like an average foul rate, I believe. The one stat that they do have above average is like true shooting, effective field goal percentage, all like the shooting stats, which they have been good at. And that's not, that certainly is not like, that has more to do with like, I think shot selection and like offensive ability to generate good shots and a high turnover rate. It has more to do with that than like shooting variance for sure. But why haven't they been able to, I think it goes back, especially on games like where they don't have, and I think it goes back to like your lack of point guard, lack of playing the flow offense that Finch wants to have when you don't have as many players that are good at that type of style. I think it's tough. And especially like, I think there's many games, and this isn't even a negative against the team, but like there's just many games where Ant saves them. And that's just like the nature of having one of the, I don't know, whatever, 6 to 8, whatever Ant is, best players in the league. That's like a positive. And when you don't have that, you kind of open yourself up to nights like tonight. But like, to answer your question, why aren't they able to like overcome? I don't know. I would probably like to see a Jaden get more touches in the offense. Pushing the pace is obviously like the easiest way, which they did do against the Kings, the previous game. I liked your point about like the offense kind of reverting back to poor, to like the bad habits. I kind of think the defense in the same way does the same thing. And the defense was fine in this game, but specifically with the Jock Landale threes down the stretch of the game, which I would be hesitant. Like Rudy's been great recently, was pretty darn good in the game last night, but specifically with the Jock Landale matchup, I thought Rudy was making a few mistakes watching it back today. He was just over helping. There was a couple where Dante got drove on by Jalen Wells. Dante was in great position. There just did not need to be any help there. Rudy just completely leaves Landale for an open three. And then the dagger at the end of the game, Jaren Jackson Jr. gets by Randall. And the low man, the rotation player, should have been Nas, and was Nas. Nas was in position to guard guard Triple J. Dante making the correct rotation onto Nas's man, so that person doesn't just get a wide open duck. But then Rudy is helping off his man, Landale, wide open in the corner for a go ahead three. And Landale's been shooting 40% so far this year from three. I think that's a good example of Rudy doing on defense what others are doing on offense, where it's like you can tell the game isn't going right. They're getting too many points in the paint, so he's over helping and leaving susceptible, which I think it's just like it's a mindset shift that unfortunately Rudy has sometimes of like protecting the paint when it's like, yeah, but your guy is wide open from three. Like that's also your matchup. And I kind of don't understand why Rudy was on Landale and Randall was on Jaren Jackson Jr. To me, the matchup makes way more sense the other way around. And if that leads to three-pointers from Jaren Jackson Jr., I think you just live with it. Yeah. I look at his shot, like how his shot goes. If that's what's going to beat you, then maybe it was a shooting variance night and like you tip your cap. I didn't like Rudy's decision-making down the stretch, and I didn't like the matchup either.
It seemed very similar to the Terrence Mann series that kind of started the whole like Rudy Gobert can't play in the playoffs narrative, that he hasn't, like, he's been fine with Minnesota in the playoffs, but I would argue nationally he's never been able to shake that, where, you know, it's just an unassuming guy hitting threes because Rudy's over helping. I mean,
I will say I mean, I know it's like revisionist history or whatever, but like, I think that had more to do with Utah's guards defensively than it did. Like, I think it was more like, well, he has the guards, like, he can't just let wide open layups. Where last night it was more like there wasn't a wide open layup to be had. The defense was in the proper spot, and you kind of went rogue. So I guess that would be like the difference, the distinction I would make.
No, completely agree with you. I was just going to kind of tie it back of like, I do think when Rudy gets frustrated, he reverts back to that style of Rudy Gobert, where it's, I need to be at the rim. I need to help these guys. Like, I need to do that type of stuff. And like, it is hard to shake those habits. I mean, with the Triple J thing, like, I agree. Like, probably put Rudy on him. Like, Jaren Jackson Jr. isn't like the type of athlete that's going to just blow by Rudy on an ISO. And Rudy's been like really good in isolation post stuff and isolation perimeter stuff. So like, I agree with you. My one thing with like that is, who knows? Maybe Randall was like, I'm going to stop Jaren Jackson Jr. Like, you just never know, like, if maybe Randall has something that he wanted to do, or if you know, like, Rudy's saying, let me go on Landell, like, we'll live with it. Yeah, like, I agree, though. It was weird. I almost feel like at some point just put Jaden on Landell and let him kind of roam and pick balls off. It was weird. And to like Finch's credit too, I think he recognized that after the game that like he needs to do better at certain things. To me though, this was just a typical Wolves loss that we have gotten way too accustomed to in the Anthony Edwards era. And I almost wonder, like, is this team just like a team at this point that's just going to turn it on in the playoffs and against good teams? Which my concern with that is, if you don't get home court advantage, if you don't get the 2 or 3 seed this year in the playoffs, you're probably playing Denver, Houston, and Oklahoma City, which that is a murderer's row. Like, if you get the 2 or 3 seed, at least you can avoid one of them, which I know people in the playoffs are always like, you have to beat everyone anyways. But like, Houston, Denver, Oklahoma City would be a miserable path to a finals. And then you probably have to play New York, like, or Cleveland or Boston with Tatum back. Like, it's going to be a real tough championship road if you're a 6 seed this year, or if you're a 7 seed. I'll preface this, like, I don't think anyone's at Oklahoma City's level. So like, saying that like the Wolves playoff road to the finals is dependent on the seed is probably simplifying it too much. But it's one of those things where it's like, this is in their control. You can choose to just put a Memphis team away by playing good basketball. You can choose to put away that Phoenix game by just playing good team basketball and rotating. But it's another thing that's been kind of on my mind every time they lose one of these games, of like, this is going to be one of those games that we point back to in March of like, this is the difference between being the 2 seed and on the opposite side of OKC and being the 8 seed and winning a playoff, 2 playoff play-in games to make it.
Yeah. And I have all the confidence that I think a lot of people look at the record and go, well, they haven't played anyone. Like, that means like they're going to be even worse. And I think like this is the type of team that if they continue to play like this and don't get better, I still they're going to win 49, 50, 51 games. And that'll be maybe the 5-4 seed, but probably the 6 seed. And that's fine. In any other Western Conference, I think it'd be just fine. Last year's Western Conference, obviously, like, the 6 seed was perfect. Like, that gave them the best opportunity to go as far as they possibly could. And this year, like you mentioned, 6 seed is probably going to be, unless Denver, Oklahoma City, or Denver, Houston drop out, like, it's going to be tough. But it's also, like I already said, like, part of me is like, it is December. Let's give it some time. They are not that far back. But
I will agree with you on that. I will agree with you on that, by the way. Like, I think they still get the 2-3-4 seed. I'm pretty confident in that. Like, they're going to win a ton of games, and they wake up for the good teams. So I don't think they're going to just be a 41-win team and be the 8 seed. But, yeah, the pessimist in me every once in a while rises to the top.
They're going to have to play better than they have these first 27 games. That's for sure. But I thought in the Memphis, Jaren Jackson Jr. looked about as good as we've seen him since in a long time. I thought Jaren Jackson Jr. was phenomenal. Absolutely, like, dominated his matchup with Julius Randle, I felt. And a couple thoughts, like, from that is, like, the Wolves clearly need, like, another, probably, like, another guard to breach whatever ceiling. Like, they just need another offensive creator out there. Because while Julius has been phenomenal at that, it's just different coming from like a forward than it is a guard. And maybe it's just, it's emphasized even more when Ant is out. But yeah, like with Julius, like there isn't really a matchup that like a tough matchup for Ant where there, and for Julius, there are a couple players and they're few and far between that can guard him properly one-on-one. So you don't have to help because Julius is so good when you bring a double or when you bring a second defender in the gap to find the right shooter and all that. But Jaren Jackson Jr. is one of those guys that has like the proper combination of speed and strength to slow down Julius. And so when you, I think like probably something we should have seen coming into the game is like that combined with missing Ant, like that just, that does level the playing field a lot. And Julius is just a very different player when he's got someone that can guard him on, when he's being guarded by someone that can properly guard him versus when the other team doesn't have that proper matchup and he's able to just absolutely destroy an opposing defense by gathering double team, like the triple double type Julius games that we've seen.
Yeah, I hesitate to say they need another guard, but I agree with you of like they need another creator. Like honestly, in a perfect world, like, you know, if your pecking order is like Ant Julius, 90% of the offense is going through either an Ant pick and roll or a Julius post up, right? Like you want somebody that's capable enough to like catch one of those Julius passes, blow by the help defender, and then make that extra pass to whoever's open as the defense is rotating. And like, in a perfect world, that's just Rob. Like Rob has such a quick step. He's able to get into the heart of the defense and he should be able to make that read, but like it's not Rob. Like Rob is not good at that right now. I think Jaden has shown that he is significantly better than even like me as a big Jaden guy like thought. I mean, last night, what, 6 assists, and a lot of them were like in the flow of the offense in the first half. But like they do need another guy that can just catch the ball off of the first action, drive in, and then make the right pass. And in past years, I think that's one of the things Mike has been really good at, is being able to drive into the middle and either hit a floater, hit Rudy on a lob, or make that extra pass. But he's not that guy this year, which pains me to say as someone that has been a massive Mike Conley fan dating back to the Grizzlies days and even that like Ohio State Florida championship game. Like it sucks, but they need someone like that. And I don't know if that's Bones. Like maybe it is. I appreciate their willingness to try all in-house options before going out and like making a trade or getting someone, because if Bones fixes that problem with his 15 minutes off the bench, that's awesome. But it's clearly not Dante. Like Dante's handle has been to be desired. And Rudy, unless it's a short role, is very limited in that space. And Jaden, I don't know if they're fully ready to like embrace Jaden as the third creator on this team. So like until that's the case, they need someone. And I kind of want to get your thoughts just on like the bench woes in general, because like Naz Reid been awesome. I think we can say like he has rebounded really well. His shooting's on par. Defense is still tough at times, but like I think that's just a Naz Reid thing this far into his career. TJ's been bad. Rob's been middling, and Jalen is, he's almost a Rudy Gobert on offense at this point, where like they're just leaving him in the corner and he shoots his three and misses it. And sometimes he gets that rebound like he did last night. But I mean, they've just gotten nothing from their bench so far this season other than not.
Yeah, it's just been, they haven't gotten any production basically out of the young guys. I mean, Jalen Clark has had flashes last night. I think offensively was not a good night for Jalen Clark. And so he didn't get the minutes that you'd like to see. But like you mentioned, they're just, this team desperately needs what Rob kind of was drafted to give them. And obviously maybe that was not a prudent decision at the time. Easy to say that in retrospect, but like Rob and Shannon have just had poor seasons. And I played the clip, from after the Kings game, from Finch, just about lack of minutes and are you able to succeed in that role? Well, like Shannon and Dillingham, I felt like they got a decent enough run in last night's game and they just didn't perform. And I think there is obviously a little bit of a chicken and egg where it's like, are they not getting the minutes because they're not playing well, or they're not playing well because they're not getting the minutes, right? And obviously Finch made it clear, like for him, it's more they're not playing because they're not getting the minutes because they're not playing well. And I fall on that side more. And like last night was a very clear example of like they're up 9. They start to bring in Shannon and Dillingham and the offense in the game dries up right there. And obviously some of that is just like it's not 100% on them. It's as much on everyone else on the floor, too. But like that's a big part of like. Where the past couple of years the Wolves have had one of the better benches in the year in the NBA, and this year it's just been the exact opposite.
Look at last year where their bench is Dante, Nah, and Nas, and this year it's like I'm trying not to be like overly dramatic, but like TJ is almost unplayable. Like he's turning the ball over at an alarming rate. Like he's not finishing around the rim. He's not making good decisions. And then on defense, he's just getting cooked. Rob fixes a lot of problems. If Rob is just, you know, able to put a cleat in the turf and drive past the first defender and then make a read, and he can't do it. Like this year, more so than like they need another guard, like they just need someone off the bench that can be a third playmaker. And to your point, last year the bench was awesome, and this year it is glaring how tough it's been.
The Wolves basically have a top six right now in terms of like if you look at any five-man lineup with like four of those top six, the being like the five starters plus Naz Reid, like those lineups are killing it. And where it's like basically the minute you get two of Mike, Jalen, Terrence, and Rob, and even probably Mike is not fair to even include in that group necessarily, but like that's where they start losing these games and why they aren't, like why the Memphis game is happening. And I don't really have a good reasoning why these guys, like I guess like with Clark, the defense is great, but the offensive game is limiting. Shannon, it's the defense. It's really just the defense where I think Finch said this out of practice where it's in college, because he's so athletically gifted, he could be a step behind his assignment and still make a good contest by just being more athletically gifted than the other player. Well, in the NBA, you just got no shot doing that. And so that's like a mental shift that he's going to have to make if he's going to be like a rotation player continued in this league. And then with Rob, like the playmaking's fine, the defense has been fine. It's really just like his shot just doesn't, it's not going in very much. A lot of missed layups. I feel like he hasn't made a mid-range jumper, like a pull-up jump shot in forever. And then also like last night, he makes two shots and has three turnovers. And like, it's just not been good enough. We don't have to keep going over like the trade that they made, but these are the type of players that the Wolves, and to be fair, Bones has played great, and I think Bones will continue to be, clearly, Bones has jumped those guys in the rotation, and I think like a fully healthy roster right now would be you're going to have those top eight guys of like the five starters plus Nas, Mike, and Bones, I think would be your large rotation in the playoffs. It would probably go down to closer to seven with either like with the top six plus like one of Bones or Mike. And that's a positive for the playoffs is like bench depth is kind of the one thing. Like if you have a sixth man, that's in the playoffs, that's usually good enough. We saw in the Lakers, they had like four playable guys. The Knicks last year had like four or five playable guys by the end of the season. So having like six playable guys will be enough in terms of like rotations. But like from a regular season standpoint, it just hasn't been good enough from those young guys. And I don't know what the solution is, because I think what's clear is like when healthy, they're just going to play the guys that deserve the minutes. And for me, yeah. I think that's what needs to happen.
I completely agree. Like I think if Bones is just good, that probably fixes a lot of the Wolves problems, but I'm not willing to say that after, you know, he has a track record with two other teams where like when he gets the opportunity, mm-hmm. he's usually okay. And then the second things start to go awry, it gets real bad, which we haven't seen a bone slump yet. So we'll see like how that ends up going. To me, it's just like the Rob side of it. And part of it is because like I'm rooting for these guys as people. Like TJ seems like a really good dude. Like Rob seems like a really good young man. Like Jalen is an upstanding human being. Like I really enjoy talking to him. So part of it is like, I just like, I want these guys to be good. And then you see like the cracks in their games. And it's just like, you know, like it would just be so much better if Rob was just able to do the thing that he was drafted for, which is get the ball, make one play, and play 20 minutes a game. But it just isn't there yet. And I think with all three of those guys, like their careers are far from being over, but it really makes the season tough when, you know, TJ did have kind of the expectations of coming in and getting that rotation spot. I think the Wolves were really hoping Rob would just take Mike's job, and Mike would be able to be kind of that grizzled veteran sage Obi-Wan Kenobi figure in the background. And I think they were hoping Jalen was just going to be a 38-40% corner 3-point shooter. And when all three of those things strike out, now it's kind of indicative of like the season that we're now putting faith in Bones Highland, which again, great dude. Never had a bad interaction with him. Like, I hope it works out, because that means I'm going to be able to cover more playoff games. But it is kind of stark when you're just laying it out of how the bench rotations have gone, because, you know, just the law of averages, you'd think one of those guys would hit, right?
Yep. And unfortunately they just haven't, although we got a matchup with Oklahoma City on Friday. That's where Terrence Janet Jr. has played his best against that team. So maybe that can be a step up. But yeah, like you mentioned, Rob had expectations coming out of the draft that hasn't been lived up to. Terrence had expectations coming off of summer league and the playoffs from last year that haven't been lived up to. Clark has been more as expected, I would say, but still, I think some of the defensive stuff you'd like to see more of. And obviously he missed two wide open threes last night. That's always going to be a worry with him, is how much he can get that shot to fall. So yeah, it's tough, but also it's almost in the short term for the, like the upcoming playoffs, it's not the biggest worry. I think they can paper over it pretty easily. It's just going to be next season when Mike may or may not be on the roster, and you're looking for how do you replace those guys, the playoffs after that. Like all that stuff is where it becomes a real big issue. And down the stretch of this regular season, when obviously you'll get Ant back eventually, but like guys are going to miss time, Clark, Shannon, Dillingham are going to be and should be the guys that step up in those roles. And unfortunately just haven't been able to see enough of that so far.
Yeah. And like you said, I don't think this is the biggest worry of the Wolves season. Like, I do think they have other issues that they need to address, playing consistently, the ball movement stuff at times. Even like the defense when Rudy Gobert isn't existing on the court has still been tough at times. So like there are bigger issues, but also like these are big issues and the team's 17-10. So it's also kind of like you were saying earlier, like it's December. We do have to put that in context too, of this Wolves team over the Anthony Edwards era has seemed to not really click into gear until January or February when stuff starts to matter a lot more. So it's hard to evaluate them because I don't think this is the team, not like roster wise. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't do anything big roster wise, but like the play style and the vibe, I don't think this is the play style and the vibe of the team that'll be going into the playoffs. Like, I do think they are going to be a lot more like, no one is going to want to play the Wolves in the first round of the playoffs. I'll phrase it that way.
Yeah, but also like that's just gonna be the entire Western Conference, and why if they any team whatever team ends up the two seed, I think is gonna have a pretty big advantage, because the 3-6 matchup, the 4-5 matchup, I think is just gonna be an absolute bloodbath, and the Thunder at the one seed, and whoever's the two seed, I think will get a nice like series off, if that can even exist in the Western Conference. But that's where we're gonna wrap it up. Andrew, do you have anything to plug?
I put out a Gobert piece just on, you know, what it means to be a guy that's a high floor, low ceiling guy that, you know, numbers bear it out. As always, have the Missing Wolves and Missing Lynx podcast that go after Lynx and Wolves games. Yeah, that's all I got. Appreciate you having me on, though. It's always nice to catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. And we always appreciate you coming on. Leo and I will be back after the Milwaukee game on Sunday. It'll be our only episode. We'll obviously take some time off for Christmas, but we'll be back after that. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Go Wolves.